Hey everyone, this is episode 84, and I have Dante and Eddie with me.
Gentlemen,
where?
Gentlemen,
wait, what?
And so you guys have known the drill, right? Us here, hardcore, uncensored video games. Yeah.
Those all belong in the same sentence.
I would click off.
Yeah, it does.
Let's proceed.
So, the first thing we're going to talk about are Fall Game Previews. Dante, do you want to start walking us through these games?
Yeah, previews? So there's a couple of big games that already have come out, Destiny and Marvel Infinite being two of them, but the next big thing that's coming out is the SNES Classic on September 29th.
To the public.
Yeah, to the public. A lot of the people in the media have already gotten it from, like, as the time of recording this, but that'll be the first time that us normies get a chance to buy it, if you decide to.
Oh, and we will talk about that.
Yeah, if you decide to.
About that.
The next big, like, actual game is something that the three of us have all really, really been wanting to play, and that's Cuphead on the Xbox One on September 29th.
Supposedly.
Yeah, if it doesn't get delayed again for like the 14th time.
Yeah, I hope that it actually comes packed in together with not only levels, but boss fights as well, both that they promised, you know?
Yeah, we should probably stress that this is, like, all the dates on here are tentative.
And yeah,
that,
TBD.
You know, yeah, that they are, of course, could be delayed at the last minute.
Could be delayed.
Cuphead just now delayed to 2019.
Yeah. And it's gone. Yeah. Like, I know you guys really want to play this game. This is even a game
it's
that my
beautiful.
My fiance wants to play. She just loves the art style and stuff.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I mean, it's what everything that we've been wanting for the past couple of years.
Well, it's
now,
just a, you know, to have it be that fluid, and it doesn't even look like a game.
It's
coolest.
Got that old school animation nostalgia to it, and just such personality.
Yeah.
You know, and the music's good too.
And it's supposed to be harder than shit, so.
Yeah,
I can't wait to be really frustrated. And I bought a couple months ago in anticipation. I bought an additional Xbox One controller.
Yeah, I haven't even broken mine yet
because I will probably throw one
in anticipation of snapping it in half.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Eddie's rage. That's why it's called Eddie Breaker.
Rage.
He breaks stuff.
Same.
That's where that came from.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Continue.
The next big one is something that I don't really care about, but I know, Mike, you're into the racing games. It's Forza 7 October 3rd.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty awesome. Looking forward to that one.
So this isn't Horizons. This is the normal mainline Forza, which is more in tune with, like, Gran Turismo and a simulation-style racing game.
Yeah, it's not arcadey like the other ones. They're just... Those are more off the wall.
Horizon is the arcadey one,
that's
right?
Correct. Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah, this is more of, like, a simulation where you can be on the track, you do your proper laps. They also have, I believe, rally versions as well.
Do they let
too.
You have a WRX, Mike?
They do.
An STI?
Yes.
WRX?
Yes.
Because if it's not STI, get the fuck out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just want to recreate the first scene of Baby Driver
and
again.
And they'll have a
Focus
RX.
Yeah, dude.
I don't
what?
Care. I don't even want
to
win the race.
To recreate the first scene of Baby Driver.
That will be possible.
God, that movie's so dope.
Yeah, it is.
Also, I met at the Destiny 2 release, I met a car artist for Forza that was in line, and he was showing me all the photos that he did. He has, like, a traveler car paint job, and, like, all this crazy stuff where, like, it's this star.
Wait, he does art for the game?
Yeah, he does art for the Forza game.
What the fuck's he doing in Michigan?
I don't know. He lives in Michigan. And he was showing me all the different paint jobs that he had done, and there were some sweet star constellations with the Destiny traveler lines and all that stuff. It looked really cool. So,
you got Destiny on my Forza,
right? Right. Sorry to cut you off on that, but that was exciting for us.
You could feel the excitement in the room.
So exciting,
so palpable.
You can taste it.
Ew! It tastes like the gym.
Anyways, the next game, there's two pretty big Nintendo games for the 3DS coming out on October 6th. It's a remake of Mario Superstar Saga and the new Professor Layton game, which stars his daughter.
What's it called?
It has like 20 some odd names. Do you want to read those, Mike?
No, I want you to read it.
Oh.
Read the whole name.
It's something Leighton Millionaire.
No, don't Ariana say something.
Grande something something.
It's called. I'll read it. Fine, you bastard. Lady Leighton's The Millionaire Ariadon's Conspiracy. Leighton's Mystery Journey. Cattrall and the Millionaire's Conspiracy.
One of those is probably like an overseas name for it.
Possibly. Or
because there's a reason it's in half of it is in parentheses.
No, Mike. we're going with that being the entire thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. The entire name.
Yeah, that's
entire
cool. Thing.
That's cool. Fun.
Yes. Yes, that's the entire thing.
So
the next one is a game that I really want to play, and it's a sequel to a game that I love, and that's Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah.
With the Nemesis system coming back.
Hopefully it's a little bit more refined.
Yeah, a more refined, and now with more microtransactions, which I'm sure will be a lot of fun.
Lots more microtransactions.
Oh, for sake. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're...
No.
I don't want microtransactions in that game.
I know.
What are they going to have you microtrans get?
Well, what kind of stuff can you get?
Yeah, what are you going to buy?
In it?
Elf blades?
It's just nonsense. It's just nonsense. I don't even want it. It's
cosmetic garbage.
Yeah, I don't even want to give them the time of day for it.
You can get a flame pattern on your Glamdrigal or whatever sword.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Outfits from every movie. including The Hobbit.
So, the next one is a game that's near and dear to all of our hearts as well, and that is South Park, The Fractured But Whole, the greatest name
yeah.
ever.
Yay. So looking forward to that game after they were supposed to release it last year in December.
Yeah. And then, again, one of those games that got delayed, and then got delayed, and then got delayed, and broke all of our hearts, but my God. That,
you know what?
Unfortunately, Destiny's going to be put on pause for this game.
Trey and Matt can have as long as they want to make whatever game they want, so I'm going to be okay with however many times. If they want to delay it again.
It's going
to
be good.
I paid for it in full almost a year ago. I don't care. It'll feel like a free game when it comes out. Like I was telling Dante, I'm like, yeah, you know.
I paid for it in full.
It'll
as well.
Just show up on my Xbox and be like, oh,
yeah, right, same here.
Be just a nice surprise. A sidebar for this game, like when it got announced, like, it was during that timer where the mass audience and all of us too, like, didn't have superhero movie fatigue yet, but and now yes, it kind of feels like we do. So instead of it being a more current satire, it looks like they're just pounding the hell out of superhero movies. So I almost kind of like the timing a little more. Like they're just they're
maybe
just
that's why they did it.
Maybe that's why they delayed it.
I mean, I can't imagine that was the reason, but it's a nice byproduct of the delay.
Yeah,
or maybe just based on what's going on currently, they wanted to rewrite and redo some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the landscape, because there's a superhero movie every other month.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's stuff they wanted to add. They're like, oh, we got to do this or that.
Or maybe there's something they wanted to do in the show that they're going to be tying in from the show, and they wanted people to understand it.
Yeah.
So like, there's stuff from like season 20 or something that's going to be in there.
They released some new gameplay for it and all that stuff, and it just looks so fucking fun, man. I really cannot wait to play this game.
The battle system looks like a lot of fun too.
Yeah, they've really added so much more detail to it from what it looks like. You said also there's another thing coming out October.
Well, there's the next set is actually three big games on October 27th, and that's Mario Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Origins, and Wolfenstein 2 all on the same day because they hate us.
Wow. Yeah, that's ridiculous. I'm really looking forward to Assassin's Creed. I want to play that, but I definitely want to play Mario Odyssey, and then what the hell, I have South Park that I want to play too, so...
Outrageous.
There's just too many... games to play.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that's five games in a like less than 3 week span that I really want to play, and those are all big games too, like none of those are small games at all.
It's not gonna be like, oh, it'll take you a day to beat. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. The next one is Call of Duty World War II. Look, going back to its roots a little bit, that's on November 3rd.
Okay. Yeah, and didn't they originally do World War II? Like, when the first release?
Yeah, it's like going back to the origins of Call of Duty, like the very
that's
first
what I thought.
Well, they did Halo, and then everyone yelled at them, so they're like, alright, fine, we'll just do what we, you know, we'll just rewind.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
They went to space. They did.
Oh, recently. Yes. Yeah. I was going to say.
They put Jon Snow in it, and it takes place on a spaceship or some shit. You
it's
know,
fine.
And,
Jon
and
then
everybody,
cool.
everybody hated it, so they were like, okay.
It was really fun. I didn't like the PvP, but the story was okay, and it was fun gameplay.
Yeah, I like.
Not my normal Call of Duty wanting to, like, you know, actually experience that. It wasn't the normal experience that I'm used to or want.
Right.
That's for sure. Yeah. But it did make for an enjoyable game. It wasn't like I didn't have fun.
No.
Yeah, I don't know that there's something that I don't know that I'll play any of the multiplayer at all, but I might just play the single player of it.
I do with Call of Duty, so I only do the campaign.
Battlefield, I like to play the campaigns and play online, but not really Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I know it's, like, ass backwards compared to the vast majority of other people, but that's...
Well, yeah, that's just us. I don't know.
Yeah, we're just fucking dumb. Us, not everybody else. The next game is Need for Speed Payback on November 10th. That's made by a bunch of ex-Burnout developers, which is really cool, but...
Yeah. Oh!
But it's
so
not going to be Burnout.
I might want to play.
It's not going to be Burnout, which means I'm not going to buy it, but... It's nice that those people are still employed. Give us Burnout or give me death.
Right.
If you give me Burnout, you'll get 60 bucks. Out. You'll probably actually get 90 bucks if you have a season pass, which, of course, you'll have a fucking season pass.
With a bunch of DLC.
Yeah.
You're actually thinking 160.
Yeah, you'll actually get my day one money, and you'll get my day one season pass, and I will crash the ever-loving hell out of cars in 4K, and I will love every minute of it.
There you go. There we have it.
There you go. I just made you $1 billion, EA.
He's just squealing on his couch, clapping. He's like,
I would. For
4K
real.
Car crashes.
Oh, man. God damn it. So I played Burnout 3 Takedown on the PS2 not too long ago. And, nice. Of course, it looks like a hot bag of ass, but it's so much fun. It's such a fun game.
I want a Grand Theft Auto 4K, like the next gen of 4K of Grand Theft Auto. That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah,
I was very pleasantly surprised by the last, you know, but even the last one's still going strong with their online gameplay and their heists.
Yeah,
a lot of people are.
Well, they're doing a great
still.
Job with that, making sure there's a steady stream of new stuff to do.
Yeah,
you know, they've learned a lot about keeping your audience engaged.
Yeah. They have an awesome franchise. They want people to keep using it.
They make so much money on in-game currency with
God,
that shit.
Disgusting.
It's so absurd.
Because people want to buy the mansions and the expensive cars and all that crap.
Yeah.
You know? And
it's
like,
just becoming
it's
second
like real
life.
Life.
It's just becoming second life, except, you know, criminal life.
Except you're killing people.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Right. Yeah. So a couple other things that recently came out September 22nd was Pokken Tournament DX for the Nintendo Switch. You know, so there's more games coming to the Nintendo Switch, which is great.
So, like, have you played this?
Pokken Tournament? Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's fun. It's different. I wish it was a Pokemon game RPG that. When you fight your Pokemon, it's not turn-based. It's like Final Fantasy live action, and you are the Pokemon, like Pokken DX, like that Pokken Tournament. Like that would be sweet if it was really like that.
So more like Kingdom Hearts.
More of like a
no, like more like Pokemon, the game Pokemon.
No,
but like
he means an execution.
Yes,
not in
yes,
concept.
Correct, an execution.
Yeah, like the battle system like being more like Kingdom Hearts, like the live act, more of an action RPG.
Exactly, and then during the actually Pokemon battles, have it be like how Pokken Tournament DX works in the fighting arena.
So do like the different Pokemon like correspond to like Tekken fighters? Like is that
I mean
that two-legged karate chicken, is that supposed to be like Hachi?
No, but I mean that would be funny if they just reskinned the models and just had the same identical game.
That would be so good. Whichever Pokemon is Eddie Guardo, that's my guy.
But no, I mean they have such a wide variety of Pokemon, some of the classics and some newer ones, and they have fighting in different phases. So you have a close-up phase where you're like hand-to-hand Pokemon combat, and like external phases where you're like you can run around, jump, and you can do guide attacks, and you can do a lot of really fun moves. And it's kind of not complicated fighting. You know what I mean? Like you can block, you can do multiple guided attacks. Guided attacks is like you keep tapping that button, and it will keep hitting the enemy. You'll follow to the enemy.
So, like, if you're doing that thing where the where Squirtle uses spits water at you, do you keep like going?
Yeah, he'll run towards it to a certain degree to keep hitting it.
Okay.
There are different goals, like doing phase shifts. Every phase shift, you get bonus energy to do your final move. You know, like a charged move.
Okay.
And then.
So then, how does the phase end, or like how does the phase move forward?
If you hit the enemy more than two or three times. So if you do a combo phase, it phase shifts and you get closer and you can do other stuff and like in battle. And if you do that again and hit him with a couple blasts two or three times subsequently, like really fast, it'll phase shift again.
But it's not complicated though.
It's not complicated.
Okay.
It's not complicated. I mean, it sounds complicated.
It sounds incredibly complicated.
It's not though. Once, like, if you actually played it, I'll let you play it if you want. Like, I have it here. So if you want to play, like, it sounds complicated, but it's super easy. Once you get the hang of it, it's really fun. But to me personally, there's not enough depth in it. Like, I wish that...
or death.
Death. There's not enough death. There's a lot of Pokemon death.
Baby's first fighting game kind
of. But it's literally...
Karate Chicken's gonna snap Squirtle's neck.
It's just fighting, and I'm over just fighting games right now. Like, if there was, like, an RPG element to it, I would love it. But there's just not. It's just fighting. You know what I mean? I get bored with just fighting. That's why I didn't buy arms. I didn't want to smack people in the face with arms all day. You know what I mean? Like, that's just... I wanted a story. I didn't want a boxing game.
If I wanted a boxing game, people.
Right? If I wanted a boxing game, I would love for them to make Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, the updated version for the Nintendo Switch, or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, revamp a classic. That's actually awesome.
It should have been a Punch-Out
instead
game.
Of this weirdo third-party... But whatever. That's the... I'm getting off topic.
Yeah.
But, anywho, so, are there any other games you want to talk about? I mean, FIFA 18 is coming out on September 29th for people who like football.
Cool.
And Halo Wars 2, the expansion's coming out September 26th, which is...
I never got around to trying that one.
Yeah.
I really should pick that up.
Yeah, there's a bunch of games that are coming
out. Have you guys tried that?
I'm sure it's good.
The open
beta
for Battlefront 2 comes out October 6th, by the way, for PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
All three
systems, October 6th, open beta, Star Wars, Battlefront 2.
Boy, are they going to flex some servers.
Yeah, they're going to be load balancing like crazy. Stress testing those guys.
God, I would love to play it, but I got a wedding, bro.
I would love to see their Amazon stack, bill.
Yeah.
their cloud bill. So, if they, whatever they use, but that'd be funny.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right, next point of topic. So that was the Fall Games preview.
There's three more games, one of which you're all about.
Okay.
One of them's Lego Marvel 2, that's coming out November 14th. I'm not buying it because X-Men aren't in it.
Yep.
Even though I love the first one, that's like my very favorite
Lego
game.
Wait, did you buy Infinite?
What?
You didn't buy Infinite, did you?
No. Are the X-Men in it?
All right, good. You're taking a knee for that one, too?
Yes. If no X-Men, no purchase. I even tweeted at them a couple times that
good
no
man.
X-Men, no purchase.
Good man.
Yeah, I don't know what... Yeah, I don't want to snag into that. That's a whole other...
Screw them. The aforementioned Star Wars Battlefront 2 gets its actual retail release on November 17th. So that'll be pretty awesome. The Gamescom footage looked freaking amazing, and that beta, I'm sure, will be bonkers.
Hell yeah.
And then there's two Switch games here that I wanted to talk about. One is Skyrim on the same day, November 17th, and then the other one is Xenoblade 2 on December 1st. That's something me and Mike will definitely want to play.
It's my birthday. thank you.
Xenoblade?
Yeah.
With a Switch trying to run Skyrim, what do you think happens first? The battery dies or...
Overheat.
Overheat
the screen
and
melts.
Yeah, it's probably going to be pretty rough. I would assume it'd be pretty rough. I mean, I've played Skyrim a lot. And I played it through one and a half times. It's unnecessary.
I've played Skyrim a lot. I have it. I still have it. I'm not buying it again.
Yeah, I'm not
going
to...
What's the difference between having it on my system, and then having it for the Switch? Like, I don't want... It's the same experience. It's the same game.
Yeah, I mean, I've...
Except this time, you'll get Zelda outfits, Dante.
I think it's great that people can take it on the go and play it. I'm not going to play it, obviously, because I have it for the X-Bone and all that stuff, so I'll keep it on that. But it's cool that it's coming out through a Nintendo console. It's just not for me, but...
Yeah.
But Xenoblade, hell yeah. Getting that.
Yeah. I'm totally getting that, too.
Getting that.
Day one purchase for me.
Looks absolutely beautiful. That Nintendo Direct footage, they showed looks kick-ass, and I'll definitely buy it. Should I have a Nintendo Switch by that time, I will buy it. Foreshadowing for the next episode.
Yeah. Ooh, look at you.
Yeah, you like that? Nice little segue. Good. Okay, yeah, there's like two more things, though, for the games preview, and then we can kick it over to something else. I just wanted to highlight two indie games. One of them is Hob, H-O-B. That's coming out on, this Tuesday, actually, or this Thursday. It's made by Runic Games, the same guys that made Torchlight, and it's got it's like a Zelda-esque isometric style, exploration and stuff like that. Looks awesome, and those guys kick ass. Like, they both Torchlight games are really, really fun. And then the other one is Battle Chasers, and that's coming out to pretty much everything, and it's like October 3rd, and it's a turn-based RPG based off of a comic book from the 90s, and it's got a medieval flair to it, and the art style is really cool, and all that stuff. So nice. If you're looking for a more turn-based, old-school style RPG, I would check that out. It's called Battle...
Is that multiplayer?
Yeah, PS4... Xbox and Switch on the 3rd of October. Finally.
Okay,
That one got delayed a few times too. It's by Airship Syndicate, I believe. But yeah, looks good. So, nice. Thus ends the fall games preview. I just spent a lot of money in my head.
Jeez. Right. Wah, wah.
Well, the next parts were kind of a little bit different, but fun here. We're going to talk about, obviously we talked about the Nintendo Classic, SNES Classic coming out. So, just between all three of us here, what are their future console predictions are possibly going to be? Do you think they're going to continue this nonsense and craziness and capitalize on it and do a Nintendo 64 Classic or a GameCube Classic, or a Duck Hunt, extravaganza, or...
They'll do an N64. They won't touch GameCube. That's too much. They need too much room on the system for anything like that.
Yeah, that's more definitely more processing power.
It's more recent a console.
But could that be a platform for them to be like, hey, let's re-release the GameCube. Limited edition run.
If I had my druthers, I would rather them just release this stuff on Virtual Console. But since they're not going to do that, I would definitely buy think about buying a GameCube one, even though I still have my...
Me too.
I still have mine. Yeah. If the thing didn't work, I would buy it. Hey, you have your original GameCube, Eddie, or do you have your third version of the GameCube?
I have my fourth, fifth.
That you sold and then rebought and then sold and rebought. I don't remember.
Actually, I have two. Oh, no, wait. I thought I had two. No, I have a... Do I have the purple one or the black one? I gotta dig it out. I had two, and then my ex ended up with one.
Yeah,
I can't remember which color now.
I had my silver. What
am I going to use two for?
I still have my silver one that was that came with Metroid Prime.
Is that the one you fished out of the dumpster?
Awesome.
No, that was a purchase one. That was an actual purchase.
Oh, no, wait, I took that.
Yeah, you took that one. You took that one out of the dumpster.
GameCube out of a dumpster?
Yeah, I took GameCube out of a dumpster.
That's
a good story.
Did you get it
fixed? Did you tell that?
Yeah, so we were working at a video game store, not to be disclosed, and we had to get rid of old... display models for an original OG PSP 1000 and a GameCube. We had to throw them away. It was policy that they had to be thrown away. They couldn't be given away. They couldn't be sold. They couldn't be donated. Any of that stuff had to go in the garbage. So I talked to one of the other managers at the time. I'm like, hey, I'm going to throw this away in the dumpster by myself. And he said, you're going to throw it into the dumpster and not in the garbage can? I said, yeah, I'm going to throw it in the dumpster. He said, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go turn over here and you have a good day. And I very nicely put it in a box and put it in some bubble wrap and then put it in the dumpster and told Eddie where it was. And he got it and he got a GameCube.
Nice.
And then
that's amazing.
Yeah, and then
this is why it's important, because Dante stopped the eternal cycle back and forth between Xbox and GameCube, because at that time I had an Xbox. I hadn't traded it for a GameCube yet. And he's like, stop it. Just stop. Just take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. And you don't have to take it back to GameCube or to Funko Land or whatever.
For anybody that doesn't know, Eddie...
Did you trade it in?
What? Okay. I still have that Xbox, okay, and I still have that GameCube.
Okay, good.
For anybody that doesn't know, back in the early 2000s, Eddie had some really bad psychosis going on between Xbox and GameCube, and he couldn't.
That's commitment issues.
He couldn't. Yeah, he couldn't commit. Fear commitment. He couldn't commit to one or the other, so he kept buying and selling his consoles to switch from Xbox to GameCube based off of the exclusives at the time. So
my funds were limited, and I couldn't decide.
Sure. So that was his own personal Vietnam. Was going back and forth between both those consoles.
It's true.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But yeah,
it was terrible.
Yeah, it was a bad day. But I also got my during that exact same day, I bubble wrapped a PSP 1000 and put that in the dumpster very nicely for myself, and I got a PSP. So sweet. Thank you, Game Store, not to be named.
Yeah. Anyway,
that was a nice
tangent. We can't mention them.
That was a nice tangent, right?
Yeah, that was a great tangent.
I mean, it fit in perfectly with predictions. So yeah. I mean,
but know. I like the with them to get back onto the actual topic of it. I think they would be really smart to do an N64, and I think they'd be really smart to package it with two controllers and a lot of games the same way they're doing with the Super Nintendo. Like people, I don't know that people have the exact same rose colored glasses for the N64 as they do for the Super Nintendo, but like there's a lot of people that love that system.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, I like it too. But that one, they're gonna start charging more and more for these things. What's the SNES Classic going for?
I think 80? It's like $80. Yeah.
So
yeah.
This one will probably be 100 or 120 or whatever.
I mean,
those are pretty big controllers too.
Yeah.
You know, it's gonna be a bigger box.
I mean, if they did that, we're not gonna buy this crap. But if they like let's say they did, and it was 20 to 25 games with two controllers, I think $100 is worth it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not even shitting on the price.
I think they're just trying to, like, you know, not have to deal with Virtual Console, and this is their solution to it, is making extra, like...
Yeah, that's why they decided to bring back the NES Classic.
Why sell individual games for, like, $3.99 when you could just bundle them all together for, like, $100 and make everybody just buy all of them?
Yeah. I would prefer Virtual Console if I had my druthers, but they're not going to. I don't think so.
And for the record, if they did a Cube Classic remix thingy, I would definitely buy it.
Or you could just get a GameCube for like $30.
I mean,
I still have
my GameCube. I still have my memory card, my WaveBird, like all those games. I still have all that
the
crap.
What the hell is a WaveBird?
There was the wireless controller.
Oh, okay. All right.
So like, I have that stuff. I don't need to buy it, but I want it to do well. So maybe I would buy it as a gift for somebody named Mike.
Yeah. All right.
Don't get him anything, man.
So let's talk about the classics console craze versus the Raspberry Pi and the new trend of emulating consoles. Instead of purchasing individual ones, having them all in one little station on one little, you know, compact thing. And for people that don't know, the Raspberry Pi is a microcontroller board. They can get in any like hobby store like Micro Center, and it can be used for it's a microprocessor board, so basically a little computer. And you can do pretty much anything with it. It costs $35. You can build servers, you can do retro consoles, you can do, you know, you can make a kidney out of it.
I might need that eventually.
They have auto-insulin machines that they've hooked up to these things. They've used it for medical research and astronomical research, and physicists use it in raids. They have like 5 or 6 of them together rated up, and then do calculations with them. Advanced mathematical calculations. So, because the processing power is that awesome. And they're only $35 a piece, so why not have a little mini computer?
Not bad.
But anyways, so there's something that you can get called RetroPi, which is the application/operating system for the Raspberry Pi, and you can literally have any retro console that your heart desires. And a lot of people are doing it. And using games that maybe they've already purchased in the past. You know?
Multiple times.
Because I'm sure a lot of people have fallen into that trap/loophole.
Sure.
Yeah. I think I bought Super Metroid 3 times.
Yeah.
I think I bought Super Mario 3 4 times.
And it's to the point where everybody's just done.
How many times did you buy Bart versus the Space Mutants?
2 times too many.
Yeah, there you go. Oh,
okay. Just curious.
I know.
So
no jab.
Listen, I loved The Simpsons when I was a kid, and I bought stupid games when I was a kid.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's
I bought the same system 4 or 5 times.
I mean, how do you guys like the Pi emulation?
I have no issues with it. I really haven't noticed any major hiccups or anything like that, other than some of the more current systems, like Tony Hawk on N64 didn't really run very well for me.
Yeah. But, well, the thing about Nintendo 64 is it works, but some games, the chipset architecture was so unique to the Nintendo 64 that some games don't emulate properly. You know what I mean? And some games do.
Sure.
Well, nothing. I don't think anything that needed that RAM pack is going to run right.
Yeah. Well, some of them did, but not the way you anticipated. Like Star Wars works, GoldenEye works, but it's really sluggish. You know, Donkey Kong works. You know, things like that. Like
Donkey Kong?
Yeah,
I played Donkey Kong needs the pack.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Okay, so, cool.
Like I said,
so some stuff does run.
It's a hit or miss on basically how it renders. So that's one of those things. But all the classic stuff like NES, SNES, you know, Genesis, you know, Game Boy, all those things, they run great. And the cool thing is you can save.
You know what's funny? And you know, last time we were here to record, like afterwards, Mike made me stay till like 3:30 in the morning so I'd play with his Raspberry Pi. I threw on some Genesis stuff. What else? We threw on some arcade stuff. We played
MAME.
Like Ghostbusters.
Yep.
And then I played some Earthworm Jim. You know, the emulators work great for, especially like, you know how much of a Woody I walk around with for Sega right now. but
I'm very hard on.
But like you look at the sound emulation, what is great. It sounds just like that that Yamaha chip.
Oh, yeah,
inside the Genesis.
Original chipset.
Yeah, and then you buy that thing that At Games has and they're selling in stores.
Target has it.
The Genesis Flashback
bucks.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's tinny and it sounds like garbage and there's frame rate issues. It's like, but this just does it.
Yeah.
This just runs it. And it runs it the way it was supposed to run on the hardware that it was supposed to run on.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the most amazing part. It's like it's emulated properly.
Yeah.
Like they take time and effort to program these emulators and those systems. So
yeah.
That's why I appreciate it and like it. And I mean, it has. Okay, the whole thing is.
We're looking at one right now. He's got like four of them around his apartment.
I have different servers for different things, right? You can even use them as security boxes and firewalls and different things. Like, there's lots of crazy technical things you can use them for. But it has four USB ports, an Ethernet port jack-in, the wireless card's already built into the motherboard, so you don't need to buy a wireless card.
And that was as of the 3, right?
Yeah, the Model 3. Yeah, 2 does not.
Okay.
It has an HDMI out, a power supply, and even an audio optical out, so you can hook it up to a surround sound if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So, it is a badass little piece of equipment, and for $35, you can't go wrong. I mean, that doesn't include the case, it's just the board, but case is like $8, and the power supply is like, what, another $8? So, you do the math.
Yeah, for what you can play on it, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, people are even putting the Zeros in, they're repurposing old Game Boys online, they're putting new screens in them, and just so you can walk around with a Game Boy that plays everything.
I subscribe to a Raspberry Pi, like a Maker type of magazine, and there's projects that come out for it like every month that are just crazy and cool. Like that's how I built my media server. Like I have a media server I can access via my phone and internal network and through my Xbox and everything. And you know, it's great. And it works perfect. I run Linux on my Raspberry Pi, and you know,
I've seen somebody do it to a Game Gear. Dante, if you're thinking about it, I'll find you some how-to videos.
I have some in my magazines. I have links and stuff to how to build those. Yeah, it's really cool. You can do it with PSPs and all that other stuff,
actually,
too.
I saw that, too, yeah. I have an old PSP laying around. I might do that.
Yeah, it's fun. So, yeah, that's all. That's the bit about the Pi. Try it. All right. Maybe not. It's up to you. Look it up. Raspberry Pi, and it's P-I, not P-I-E. So. And the name of the operating system is RetroPie. So yeah,
and I can attest. I can attest to it being badass and convenient.
Yeah. Oh, also, you can use Xbox 360 controller. You can use your PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3 controllers. You can use your Xbox One controller. It works via Bluetooth. I mean,
or people's, you know, if you're wired, in a class, you feel like. I bought one off of Etsy because I wanted one that looks really like a Genesis because I'm that big of a nerd.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Wait till you see it.
You don't even want to know how much you paid for it either.
The power switch works.
This
the LED works on it.
Fucking Uber dork.
I tell you what, man. Once it gets here, it's going to be sweet. No, it actually comes with a USB. Comes with a USB Sega Genesis controller, so it's just the feel is there. Like whatever you want to like experience, with it. Like, you can get what, it's that. But, no, it's, you know what, it's a whole ecosystem, and however, whatever your level of nerd, you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah,
that's what's really cool.
Depending on how technical or how non-technical you are, doesn't really matter. I mean, you can find projects that suit your level and experiment with it. There is a entry-level operating system called Raspbian, and it is...
I am the Raspberry.
Right, and it's actually the setup protocol for it's called Noobs, N-O-O-B-S, and it's super easy to install. You literally drag and drop to the SD card, and it boots up into like a Windows-like GUI Linux platform. And there are so many built-in applications that you can visually learn how to visual program games and do different things and learn... You can learn stuff. Like, it comes packed full of awesome tools and suites.
Nope, I don't want to learn anything.
You know, like... Or you could just use it as a word processor, or, you know, browse the internet. You can use it literally as a computer. So, but for people that like to experiment and get their hands wet and like learn how to do stuff, I would like to get
one and just throw Linux on that bastard and just,
yeah,
just
mess around with it. It's pretty sweet. I mean, maybe we'll do another podcast about it in the future. But yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about one more topic before we close for the evening. And Dante, do you want to announce it?
No.
Okay.
It looks like we caught him unawares.
We did. He's playing with himself right now.
I was aware.
We can see you, dude, by the way. He's
got like a bag of candy or something
over right now. Candy! Destiny 2 was released.
Yep. Bye-bye whatever social life I had before.
Yeah.
It wasn't much of one anyway.
So, and Destiny 2 is awesome. You know, Dante doesn't like it. But you know what? That's okay. I do.
I haven't played Part 2, to be fair. Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, you're gonna get that same hand motion whenever you start talking about Ni No Kuni or whatever the hell that's.
Oh god, I can't wait to play that fucking game. Fuck you. It's gonna be sweet.
You're gonna get the double.
Oh, are you gonna go skiing?
The double? Yeah. What kind of parties do you go to?
Skiing, you know?
Oh, sure, okay.
Yeah. So, but anyways, Destiny 2 is freaking awesome. I've been playing it now since it was released.
Yeah.
I don't even remember, was it 6th or 7th?
Yeah, six or seventh.
2 or 3 weeks.
It's all a blur now.
The raid's currently out. It's called the Leviathan. The story was really good. I don't think we want to get into any story things.
Well, we won't give anything away, but the campaign was solid.
Yeah.
Because it was an actual story.
Yeah. A very good one that was in depth, and you know, I've played through it twice now, and I've enjoyed it.
Oh, that's right. You did it. You started a hunter.
Yes, I started off my warlock, and then I started my hunter, and my hunter is raid ready.
That's cool. Well, and it's real easy to do it with a second character. Once you port over some weapons and stuff, you and start getting the armor. Yeah,
to get
around. That's a big thing with the game. So anyway, the campaign was really cool. It was probably artificially lengthened by the fact that they purposely don't give you the sparrow. Listen. If I was a background artist for Bungie, and I spent the retarded amount of time they spent making those vistas, making those skyboxes, and all the pretty shit that there is to look at, I ain't giving you a sparrow, butthole,
right?
Hoof it.
I guarantee
walk
you.
Walk through them valleys.
From a developer standpoint,
uphill both ways.
I guarantee you, there was at least two or more scrum meetings that they've had in their development meetings that they brought up and said, where are we at on the no sparrow till this level or this thing happens so that people actually experience these worlds? And they probably went back and forth quite a bit because some people were probably like, no, we need to have sparrows. And they're like, no.
After the campaign,
midway through, wait till they get this piece of gear, you know? Track their feet like in Zelda, you know? Like, you know, if they walk X many miles, then they can get a sparrow.
Yeah, but I mean, so it's, you know, it makes the campaign feel a lot longer in places where it shouldn't. I think maybe like a 6 to 8 hour, which it's not very long, but really, you know, in that kind of game, that's just, you know, the start of it.
Yeah,
that's the start of it because there's so much meta. There's a lot of stuff to do. You know, they have a new patrol type in addition to the same patrols from the first game. They have those adventures,
missions,
which are more fleshed out. They're but they take place in the same sandbox world. So like, when you're accomplishing objectives, you're still in the overworld where other players can still wander in and help you with objectives.
Which is so helpful. Like, really good. Because those actually give you points to unlock your subclass. That's the new points-based system.
Yeah.
You finish missions to get points to unlock your subclass instead of arbitrarily killing random things and watching a bar slightly go up and unlock circles. You just get, like, I think it's like 5 or 6 points.
Oh, to just get upgrade points?
Yes. Yeah. So the
I thought you were talking about literally unlocking the subclasses, which are just random items
that drop. Those are random items that drop, and then once you get that, you do public events to unlock the percentage of that. But then you start doing missions to get, you know, points, and you could spend the points in your tree.
Well, now, you know what they kind of screwed the pooch on, though? I really like what they did with that whole, like, adventure mission type. Mm-hmm. That you can just pick up, because there's like, a bunch of them per world.
Yeah, there's at least 4 or 5.
There's more than that. But the problem is, once you finish the campaign and hit level 20, there isn't really a whole lot of reason to go do them unless you're just interested in extra story.
That's one of the reasons why.
They only drop, a lot of them only drop, like, blue gear.
There's the blue gear is scaling now.
It's
with the new update.
Yeah,
I got scaling. A 285 blue gear drop.
What does 285 mean?
The power level goes up to you start like at
in Destiny. They had a thing called light. Now it's called power. It's the same stat. It's basically just an average of all the numbers on your gear.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And that's how. So, like, for example, like Mike's at like 288 or something right now. Like, the recommended light for the raid is like 270.
Yeah.
But really, you should be like 280 if you want to, like, not get your butthole kicked in all the time.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so the max power level is 305.
I played a lot of vanilla Destiny, and that's kind of why I just don't really give a crap about Destiny 2, because it was
They fixed
not,
it, though.
I got into the gameplay loop, and it just wasn't something that I gave a damn about anymore. So yeah, what would this... If you guys could sell it to me in 2 sentences, how would you do it?
I would say, first of all, Destiny 1, near the end of that whole thing, they fixed everything. They added a lot of differences, and they fixed everything, I think, the issues that you were having. I'll let Eddie talk about Destiny 2.
So, Dante, I'm going to break it down for you. One, there's a story. Two, you give a shit about the side characters now.
Because you learn about them.
I mean, like, you know, they actually try to put characterization to, like, Nathan Fillion and Zoe's characters.
Sure.
They had a couple new characters that are, like, your overworld people.
Circle face burn.
So, like,
right?
If you give me, so I mean, like, my basic need for a video game is either give me a great story that propels me forward, or give me gameplay that's good enough that propels me forward.
You have both.
And Destiny, as much as the gameplay was good, it was too repetitive and it was too simplistic. So I stopped. And I mean, I played a lot of that game and it was just like, all right, I'm done. And it sounds like they're giving you a couple of things that would propel you forward to keep wanting to play it. So maybe someday I'll give it a shot, but not anytime soon.
There are, but you'll still run out of stuff.
Yeah. It comes a point where you hit maxed out and they give you new milestones every day to do things.
Yeah, there's an ever growing, like, list of stuff to accomplish each day. They give you new challenges and stuff. They can drop new, you know, everything's done in tokens now. Everything gives you tokens for this vendor or that vendor, so you can get their gear. Kind of just like the first Destiny. But eventually there's a wall, you know. Then you can start a new character. You can try the different characters and their different subclasses and abilities and stuff. And for me, Destiny is one of the only games that I play competitively online.
And it's social, too.
I'm decent at it.
Yeah, it's a social, it's a competitive. And the thing is, if you only care about the story, once you're done with the story, you can stop. But there's so much to do after the story in regards to, like, raiding and strikes, which are, like, different story missions, and Crucible, which is competitive gameplay with your friends. There's new gear to unlock and higher levels to achieve. Like, if you don't want to do that, then you won't be interested. But if you do and you are part of that social thing...
Well, you know, like, because the other day, me, Mike, Monsignor, and another
Veronica.
Player... We ran through a competitive couple rounds of competitive multiplayer, and we had a shitload of fun because we were all on the same. you know, when you're playing with a bunch of randos,
we're in the same clan.
It's not the same thing. But we were all able to communicate, move as a team, and stuff. It was really, really fun.
Yeah, you can just get strategic, and it becomes like a social hangout thing where we're destroying people, but like we're having fun doing it. We lose sometimes too. No one's perfect, but like it makes it more fun. Like I tried playing alone today for a little bit, and I was so bored. Like it's one of those things where it's like I need to be playing with people, my friends, to have fun.
Yeah. Plus, some of these people don't know Mike in real life, so they'll talk to him. Yeah,
exactly.
They poor like bastards.
But that's our rant on Destiny 2. If you guys haven't played it, you need to play it.
If you like the later aspects of Destiny 1, you'll love Destiny 2.
Yes. There's
all of that and more. If you were disappointed by the grind, the game's not for you. It's a role playing game. There's a grind.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's the perfect way to say it.
To get the gear, to get the Dante. Sweet guns and all. You know. Oh man.
Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. I love RPGs, but
yeah, it takes you somewhere.
That game just did not tickle my fancy.
You're right. In the beginning, it was horrible.
Yeah. That's my only taste of that game is the opening.
Like three or four expansions later.
But fuck.
Well, yeah, I mean, Destiny 1 was finally a great game by the end.
Yeah.
Three, four major expansions and overhauls later. I'm sure
shit not going to sit around for 3-4 expansions for it to finally be good.
But you know what didn't happen? They could have just Mass Effected it and bailed on it.
Yeah. Which they didn't.
You know, they fixed everybody's goofy faces and then bailed.
They listened to the people on Reddit.
Right?
So. Ugh. Anyways, people, we haven't been watching TV because Dante's getting married, so, you know.
So that precludes us from watching television.
I mean, I've been watching a hell lot of TV, but Dante hasn't, so we can't really talk about anything.
Maybe next episode.
Maybe. Yes, maybe.
We shall see.
If we're lucky. But yeah, well, we're going to sign off then. All right.
All right, gentlemen.
Thank you for listening, and see you next show.
Bye.
Bye.